Jara dhamma dava tunja bihari. Gopi jana valava girivara bhari. Gopi jana valava girivara bhari. Yashoda nandana bhajana ranjana Yashoda nandana bhajana ranjana Jamuna ki ravana chari Jamuna ki ravana chari Jara dhamma dhava tuja bihari Jara dhamma dhava tuja bihari Gopi jana valava girivara bhari Gopi jana valava girivara bhari Yashoda nandana bhajana ranjana Yashoda nandana bhajana ranjana Jamuna tira ravana chariya Jamuna ki ravana chari Jaya raja madhava tuja bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Tunja Bihari Madhava Tunja Bihari
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Puri Vajakacharya Astuttara Shata Sri Srimadhi Divine Grace Abhay Charna Vindavati Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Siddhi Gauravakra Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Gangamai Ki Jai Sri Jamunamai Ki Jai Sri Mati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Your Lordship Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai, Your Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Your Lordship Sri Sri Gauritai Ki Jai, Iskan Noor Ramarati Dham Ki Jai, Nite Gaur Premanande, All glories to the assembled devotees, All glories to the assembled devotees, All glories to the assembled devotees, All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Guranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, entitled The Process of Creation, and text number 2. Atma Jaya Shutagara Pashudra Vina Bandushu Raje Chavikale Nityam Viruda Mamatam Jaho Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashudra Vina Bandushu Raje Chavikale Nityam Viruda Mamatam Jaho Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashudra Vina Bandushu Raje Chavikale Nityam Viruda Mamatam Jaho. Please chant. Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashu Dravina Bandushu Raje Chavi Kale Nityam Virudam Mamatam Jaho Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashu Dravina Bandushu Raje Chavikale Nityam Virudam Mamatam Jaho Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashu Dravina Bandushu Raje Chavikale Nityam Virudam Mamatam Jaho Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashu Dravina Bandushu Raje Chavikale Nityam Virudam Mamatam Jaho Mothers Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashu Dravina Bandushu Raje Chavikale Nityam Virudam Mamatam Jaho Atma Jaya Sutagara Pashu Dravina Bandushu Raje Chavikale Nityam Viruda Mamatam Jaho Atma, body. Jaya, wife. Sutta, son. Agara, palace. Pashu, horses and elephants. Dravina, treasury house. Bandushu, onto friends and relatives. Raje, in the kingdom. Cha, also. Avikale, without being disturbed. Nityam, constant. Virudam, deep-rooted mamatam affinity jaho gave up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit, as a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna, was able to give up all deep-rooted affection for his personal body, his wife, his children, his palace, his animals like horses and elephants, his treasury house, his friends and relatives, and his undisputed kingdom. So this purport is very long, and there are two paragraphs, so I'll go through the first paragraph, pause for a while, and then go to the second purport. To become liberated means to become free from dehatma buddhi, the illusory attachment for personal bodily coverings and everything connected with the body, namely wife, children, and all other entanglements. One selects a wife for bodily comforts, and the result is children. For wife and children, one requires a dwelling place, and as such, a residential house is also necessary. Animals like horses, elephants, cows, and dogs are all household animals, and the householder has to keep them as household paraphernalia. In modern civilization, the horses and elephants have been replaced by cars and conveyances with considerable horsepower. To maintain all the household affairs, one has to increase the bank balance and be careful about the treasury house. And in order to display the opulence of material assets, one has to keep good relations with friends and relatives, as well as become very careful about maintaining the status quo. This is called material civilization of material attachment. Devotion for Lord Krishna means negation of all material attachments, as detailed above. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Maharaj Parikshit was awarded all material amenities and an undisputed kingdom in which to enjoy the undisturbed position of king. But by the grace of the Lord, he was able to give up all connections with material attachment. That is the position of a pure devotee. Maharaj Parikshit, due to his natural affection for Lord Krishna as a devotee of the Lord, was always executing his royal duties on behalf of the Lord. And as a responsible king of the world, he was always careful to see that the influence of Kali would not enter his kingdom. A devotee of the Lord never thinks of his household paraphernalia as his own, but surrenders everything for the service of the Lord. Thereby, living entities under a devotee's care get the opportunity for God realization by the management of a devotee master. So I'll pause here for a moment. Om Agyana Timrandasya Agyana Jana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Shila Virabhava Prabhu Iti Namine Shri Shri Vindata Vivira Parapad Pankajadaya Ne Prabhupada Nuvadaya Namah Shri Virabhava Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschacha Deshatarni Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this Bhagavatam is told as a narration within a narration. So while Sukadev Goswami was speaking the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, there are many saints and sages there. one of those saints was Sutta Goswami. And after he heard it, he went to the forest of Naimisharanya, where there were other sages assembled, and he repeated what he heard. So the head of those sages was Shanaka Rishi. So in the last few verses of the previous chapter, we heard where Shanaka Rishi was questioning and inquiring from Sutta Goswami that after Sukadev Goswami has instructed and narrated the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, what else did he inquire and what did he do? So this is a natural stage of inquisitiveness. Like sometimes if you're watching a play or watching a movie, or there is some action going on, we naturally want to know what next is going to happen. The suspense is building up. What's happening? What is the next step? What is he going to do? So here, in this atmosphere where Sukadev Goswami has instructed Maharaj Parikshit, he has given him almost all instructions, then they want to know, what would Maharaj Parikshit do? How would he react? What has he learned from this knowledge? Now is going to be the test. Just like Krishna did with Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. After speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, first Krishna asked him, he said, have you understood everything? In other words, Krishna was willing to repeat everything, to patiently repeat the entire Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna so that he gets the clear understanding. And then afterwards, Krishna says, now that I have instructed everything, I have taught you everything, now you can do as you wish. You have your free choice to act in whatever way you want. So, in other words, Krishna is saying, first, you have your free will as independent living entity, and secondly, let's see what you have learned. Because a person acts according to his realization and understanding. That's the test. Anyone can sit and speak, but when to act, that's when we know the real qualification. So that's what Krishna is telling Arjuna. Let us see, you know, now you can act. Let's see what you have learned. Let's see what knowledge you have acquired. And so Krishna is, Sukadev Goswami, after instructing Maharaj Parikshit here, Sanaka Rishi and the sages are inquiring, well, what next he's about to do? Now, what would Maharaj Parikshit do? How would he react to all that he has learned? So that's just like setting the scene for this verse today. It's the way we're at. So here, Sutta Goswami is responding of Maharaj Parikshit's reaction to this episode so far. That what is it that he has done? That one, due to his affection for Lord Krishna, being a great devotee of the Lord, from childhood we learn that Maharaj Parikshit was playing with dolls and imitating the family's deity worship. So from very birth, he had a very strong affection for Lord Krishna. He was worshipping Lord Krishna from birth. As a matter of fact, from before birth, he had a darshan, even within the womb of his mother. We all know that pastime. So, due to his natural affinity for this, his Krishna consciousness and devotion to Lord Krishna, he was able, and by the knowledge imparted to him by his spiritual master, Sukadev Goswami, he was immediately able to give up this affection, this attraction for material life. And here it's interesting to note that the way Srila Prabhupada put it over, thank you, yeah, that he used the word affection, that he's even a purport. Yes, deep-rooted affection. So not only did Srila Prabhupada says, you know, attachment, but he used the word deep-rooted affection. So when we hear something like this, and we hear a purport like this, that Maharaj Parikshit give up his attachment and deep-rooted affection for his wife, his children, his kingdom, his animals, and so forth, then it poses, at least for me, a great confusion. It is not so easy to understand that how one can do this, how one can give up. Even Srila Prabhupada, in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, we learn that when his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, was instructing and dreaming him constantly that you have to give up, come take sannyas, come give up, Srila Prabhupada was crying, how can I do that? How can I give up? Until his sister, Bhavatarini, came and said, you're useless anyway. It's during his pastime. She told Prabhupada, you're useless anyway, that you're not able to maintain your family. So because he's so affected by the preaching mood of Lord Chaitanya. She said, I have 5 sons. So you go and take sannyas. I have 5 sons and my 5 sons will take care of your family. So like that, the matter was settled. So Srila Prabhupada knew that his family would be taken care of. It's not that he just walked away. No, that's not his standard. He was concerned, even when Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, here Prangovinda Prabhu can give evidence. He, when he was a young boy, he used to be bringing the checks. Srila Prabhupada has his disciples have an apartment for his ex-wife at that time, and he would make sure that he took care of her, pays the rent and so forth. Prangovinda Prabhu used to bring those checks every month. So it's not that one, you know, just give up and walk away. So the way it's presented in short, anyone can get that impression, but that's not the case. In Krishna consciousness, there is much more than that. So to just give up is not an easy thing. To analyze and act in a renounced way is not an easy thing. As a matter of fact, it's confusing because many times we don't know whether we are actually doing our duty or we are actually attached to these paraphernalia. So it's not an easy thing to discuss, it's not an easy thing to apply. So here Srila Prabhupada is describing that what it takes to be in family life, that to satisfy one's needs and to get some comfort, then one takes a wife. So behind a wife comes children. Then when you have children, then we have to get a place, we need a household, and then from household life there are animals and nowadays conveyances, cars and other paraphernalia that one has to keep. And to do all of that, one has to create this a sizable bank balance to maintain all this paraphernalia. And to do that, one has to work hard. One has to work to maintain all these facilities. And when one works to maintain his facilities, then what happens? Attachment develops. So, at the same time, one has that responsibility to live a renounced life, to live a life of renunciation and to worship the personality of Godhead. So, with all of this involved, and then to worship the Lord, and to act in this way, it's definitely not an easy thing. So even for Arjuna, it was difficult in the in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, verses 1 and 2, Arjuna asked, he said, you know, you asked me to renounce work, and then you says to work in renunciation, so I'm confused. What is it that I should actually do? And then Krishna explains in the second verse that out of the two, renunciation of work in renunciation is better. Out of renunciation of work and work in renunciation is better. So Srila Prabhupada gave that purport describing. But here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada actually elaborates more. Srila Prabhupada brings it to the next level of so we can understand that purport, what he gave in the second verse of Bhagavad Gita. That what it actually takes and how is it that one can apply oneself to move from renunciation of work to work in renunciation. So first of all, it's described that one has to learn the art of renounce these paraphernalia. So this is the first stage. One has to learn how not to be attached to the things that are around us. And actually it's described that only then that one can really be receptive to spiritual teachings and understanding. So from this we understand that already Maharaj Parikshit, even before he learned this, get these instructions from Sukadeva Goswami, that he had already learned the art of giving up the attachment for these entanglements. As we would continue in the next section of the purport, we would understand how Srila Prabhupada put this over. So let's continue at this point. Second paragraph. Attachment for household paraphernalia and for Lord Krishna go poorly together. One attachment is the path of darkness and the other attachment is the path of light. Where there is light, there is no darkness. And where there is darkness, there is no light. But an expert devotee can turn everything to the path of light by an attitude of service to the Lord. And the best example here is the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira and householders like him can turn everything to light by dovetailing so-called material assets in the service of the Lord. But one who is not trained or is unable to turn everything to the service of the Lord, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, must give up all material connections before he can be fit to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Or in other words, one who has seriously heard Srimad Bhagavatam for even one day, like Maharaj Parikshit, from a fit personality like Sukadev Goswami, may be able to lose all affinity for material things. There is no utility simply in imitating Maharaj Parikshit and hearing Bhagavatam from professional men. And here is Mother Ragatmika's answer from the last class, the question she asked. There is no utility simply in imitating Maharaj Parikshit and hearing Bhagavatam from professional men. Even for 700 years, to take Srimad Bhagavatam as a means of maintaining family expenditure is the grossest type of namaparad offense. At the feet of the Lord, sarva shubha kriya samyam api pramada. End of purport. So here is very clear. So here the first stage in the first part of this purport Srila Prabhupada is explaining what we have to give up, the attitude one has to maintain in executing his Krishna consciousness, what we have to do. So for us, again, at least for myself, it can be confusing and difficult to understand the narrow difference between being attached to what you have and wanting to use that in Krishna's service. Sometimes even my children would tease my wife when she said, well, I want to buy this for Lord Jagannath, or I want to buy this for the deities. So then I'd tease her, well, are you sure you want to buy it for the deity, or you want it for yourself and just use that as an excuse? So sometimes it can be a narrow difference. So, and of course, sometimes we would disagree, but then we would agree after, you know. So that's the important thing, that we agree and then we continue. But here is how we agree. I agree that she disagreed that I am right and she is wrong. And similarly, she agreed that I disagree that she is right and I am wrong. But once we get to that stage of agreeing, then we can cooperate and move forward. So this is a stage that one has to get to also, that because Srila Prabhupada said that our love for him would be shown by how much we cooperate with each other, not how much we agree to each other, how much we cooperate to push things along. So anyway, there is this narrow difference between, even within ourselves, to understand, am I actually attached to these paraphernalia, or am I actually wanting to use this in Krishna's service? Of course, it's a training that we have to be trained, that from our attachments would be there, and then we are being trained to start use it in Krishna's service, use whatever we have in Krishna's service. And the hope is there, like what Srila Prabhupada, listen to the word of Srila Prabhupada used in this purport here, the second part, says that by such training, one may, in particular, this word is there, that is really, really significant. Oh, sorry, I was looking at the wrong page. Yeah, where? Anyway, it's here that by such learning that one may be able, so that is the hope, that from this knowledge that you develop the right attitude, the right renunciation, the right understanding. So it's not easy. So Srila Prabhupada used the word that one may be able to use it in this way. So this is very important. And also, like coming back to the beginning, where Srila Prabhupada, both in the verse and the purport, he phrases words very carefully, that deep-rooted affection. So we have this whole pastimes of the prayers of Queen Kunti, Queen Kunti's pastimes, where she prayed that to Lord Krishna that please let her give up, let these calamities happen again and again so that she can be drawn into Krishna. And she wanted to give up the affection and attachment for her family and kinsmen. We all know that all her family members, they were all very great devotees of the Lord. So she prayed to give up that affection, that attachment for devotees, it would put one to question. That it's important that we be attached to devotees and devotional service. As living entities, we have to stick somewhere. Now we are trying to give up the low and be attached to the higher aspects of life. So it's not easy to actually understand that what this verse is saying, you know, what this purport is saying, that okay, we have to give up this deep-rooted affection. Deep-rooted attachment, I kind of understand that fairly well, but deep-rooted affection, it brings this discussion to a different level. That what exactly that means to give up this deep-rooted affection. So, in the past tense there of Queen Kunti, it's explained that we're talking about affection for the body. So like here, Srila Prabhupada started off with a big bang in this verse, very, very strong and stringent, that one has to give up the affection, one has to give up these attachment for all household paraphernalia. Wife, children, husband, conveyances, everything else that goes along with it. But in the second half, Srila Prabhupada turned that around, that when one becomes a devotee, one becomes expert enough to utilize these facilities in Krishna's service. So this brings us back to the second verse of the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita that we cited earlier, that to work in renunciation being better than renunciation of work. So here we have to learn to work. So to learn to work in renunciation means not to give up what you have, not to renounce what you have, but to use that facility in Krishna's service. That's the highest stage. So in the second half of this purport, in the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada is citing great devotees like the Pandavas, who Maharaj Parikshit had the good fortune to take birth in their family, that they were able to use everything in his service. So like that, there was no need to renounce anything, because they are already renounced, because they understand, the devotee understand that everything belongs to the Lord. So if we understand everything belongs to the Lord, then there is no need to renounce anything, because we don't have anything to begin with anyway. But still, we're surrounded by so much facilities. So we have to be trained to have the proper mental structure in acting in this material world, in acting in Krishna consciousness, in dealing with our everyday lives. And once this right mentality is there, then everything becomes smooth. Then there won't be any difficulty. The difficulty is to come to that stage. That's the difficulty. To come to that renounced stage of understanding that everything here should be used in Krishna's service. But taking examples from great personalities like Srila Prabhupada quoted here, the Pandavas, we can learn from their lives and understand how to use everything in Krishna's service. And that is our expertise. When one can be trained in that way, then one becomes what Srila Prabhupada termed as an expert devotee. Not to give up anything, not to reject facilities. I remember when I was there in Kartik in Vrindavan, I was there at Lohi Bazaar, I believe, and I saw one sadhu was coming. So I told the shopkeeper, you know, just hurry up, give me the change that I want to give a donation to the sadhu. And he said, oh no, don't do that. That he's so renounced that if you try to offer him donation, material things, he can curse you, that he don't accept material things. So then I kind of reflected that, you know, that's not what we learned from Srila Prabhupada. That's not what we were, the way we were trained. That if we get facilities, we accept it, but not for ourselves. We accept it to serve Krishna. We try our best to utilize whatever facilities we get, and sometimes we work hard to acquire. But we want to acquire it to use it in Krishna's service. Like when Srila Prabhupada was a grihastha, when he first met his spiritual master, his understanding after that, his mood after that is that he wants to do business so that he can get money so he can use for preaching. So that was his mood. Srila Prabhupada was wanting to work hard to acquire wealth to use it in Krishna's service. But of course, Krishna had a different plan. Krishna didn't want his hard work and money. Krishna wanted him. Krishna wanted him to give up that and he himself dedicate 100%. And then he made other arrangements for all those opulence to come. So Krishna had other plans. So when one engages in these activities in this way, and try to understand purports like this, sometimes I want to, first of all, sometimes I want to run away from it, I don't want to read it. Other times I want to read it over and over to understand how much I'm not understanding of what I need to do and how I need to function in Krishna consciousness. Because as soon as I look at it, sometimes I get scared. Well, okay, this is what I have to do and here is where I am. It's a really scary position. I'm very concerned and scared about it, that this is what I have to give up. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but many times when I chant, you know, they're saying that if you chant attentively and chant sincerely, then you will naturally lose all these attachments. So sometimes I'm scared to try to chant sincerely because I'm scared to lose all these attachments that I have. So it's a practical thing. I don't know, it happened to me a lot. I don't know if it happened to anyone else, but for me it does. So it's not easy to apply what Srila Prabhupada is giving us here today in his purport. But from the life of Maharaj Parikshit, the saints and sages, they are seeing that Maharaj Parikshit perfectly understood the teachings of his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami. He perfectly understood. And Srila Prabhupada qualified this whole purport in the last sentence, that one reason why he was able to perfectly understood is because his perfect master, Sukadeva Goswami, wasn't speaking the Bhagavatam as a profession to maintain his livelihood. He was speaking the Bhagavatam purely to give instructions, purely to enlighten whoever wants to hear. In this case, his chief student was Maharaj Parikshit. Behind him, there were thousands of other sages and people who were there listening and getting the benefit. So Srila Prabhupada made it very clear that if we listen to the Bhagavatam from professional reciters who are doing this as a livelihood, in this case, the Bhagavatam was spoken in 7 days. So Srila Prabhupada said, not only 7 days, but you can listen to the Bhagavatam from professional reciters for even 700 years, as Prabhupada quoted here, and you will not get the benefit. You will not be able to groom or groove your consciousness in the right way to be able to not only give up the attachment for everything that's around you, but to be able to use these facilities in Krishna's service. Previous to that, Srila Prabhupada said that even if one hears these instructions, even for 1 day, as Maharaj Parikshit heard it, then he can be duly qualified. His consciousness can be changed strong enough where he can act in the proper way. On the flip side, you can listen to it for 700 years from the wrong source and with you not having the right surrendered attitude, and you would never get the benefit. It would all just be a repetitive process, like lip exercise, so to speak. So these are some points I had and I wanted to make, so we can leave it open for any questions, comments. So Gadagraj Prabhu.
Was that, you know, that merchant you said in Vrindavan, right?
Yeah.
Was that Ganga Prasad?
Say that again. Ganga Prasad?
Yeah, was that him?
I don't remember. It was such a long time. I don't remember.
He used to give advice like that all the time.
Okay.
Like if you want to know anything about Vrindavan, you go to, his name's Brij Bihari.
Oh.
So you, and his family, the family calls him Mala. Anyway, if you want to know anything, you ask him, he knows. Like who's okay, the best so, Tulsi Wala? He'll tell
yeah,
you.
Who knows, maybe it was him and he protected me from the course of the sadhu. Who knows? Yeah, so did, yeah, Prabhu, you had your hand up? You want to say something first?
Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Shivananda Sen, they, you know, they were, had wealth and they utilized it in Krishna's service. So, like the Goswamis, they were very, very wealthy, but they gave everything up and renounced everything. So how do you know when's the time to just, you know, Prabhupada said that he was thinking that let me become more proficient in my business and then I can use that income to spread Krishna consciousness. So sometimes we're thinking that I have to work hard, make money, and that can help spread Krishna consciousness. But it's a fine, like you said, it's a fine line to know when we're supposed to renounce everything, like the Goswamis, and or when we could utilize what Krishna's given us to make that we're not really attached to those things.
Yeah. Yes, it's definitely a fine line. We have, like in the case of the Goswamis, a typical example is Raghunath Das Goswami, very rich, wealthy family. And he was using his father's money to provide for all the devotees, you know, that and to do so much. And afterwards, he thought that, you know, why use someone else's energy? Then he starts giving that up. And he became so, gave up so much, so renounced that he was eating the rotted rice from the outside that was thrown away after the cows left it at Jagannath Puri. So renounced he became. Also, it's very important to know that these examples that you're quoting are extreme examples and extraordinary, because these devotees all came to facilitate the Lord's service, just like Srila Prabhupada came to facilitate the Lord's service. So, the Lord had special plans for these devotees, that this devotee wants to be like this, that devotee wants to be like that. Just like many devotees, Srila Prabhupada said, there's no need to give up. Just like Srila Prabhupada's own father, Prabhupada said that his father was a pure devotee, but he never gave up family life, there was no need. Many disciples, Srila Prabhupada instructed, there is no need to give up. You can use whatever you have to engage in Krishna's service. Some others, he said, now take sannyas. So, it's all, they are general instructions and they are individual instructions. So, depends on the will of the Lord, and sometimes that, not sometimes, all the time, that will is manifested through the words of his pure devotees. And when that happens, then we are able to better understand the plan of the Lord. Like if the six Goswamis and Pundarik Vidyanidhi and the other devotee you mentioned, if they didn't act in that way, maybe we wouldn't have existed today. If the six Goswamis didn't give up everything they had and dedicate themselves to re-establishing all the lost places of Vrindavan, to write all these transcendental literatures, to give us this, that what Lord Chaitanya personally instructed them in, where would people like me and you be today? Probably we wouldn't have existed. You know. So those are some of the flip side. And others, there are other devotees who use everything in Krishna's service, like the Pandavas, as you know, so much opulences, but they use everything. Naraj Ambarish use everything. There's so many examples. So it can be, you know, an individual thing. So yeah. Trivikram Prabhu and then Mother Madhumati.
Hare Bhav, yeah. So in one sense we can say that whether Parikshit renounce or not renounce, all these things would have been taken away from him in any case, because he'll die in 7 days. Right? So we can look at it on that angle. But these instructions allow him to understand the temporality of this world, and you know, the illusory nature of this world. And so he was able to do it in a peaceful mood, peaceful way. But you know, you could ask the other question: if he was not coarse, would he have been able to renounce these things?
Like I missed the word you said.
Would he have been able to renounce all these things in seven, well, you know, whatever days or something, you know? So you can look at it in that perspective also.
Krishna makes arrangements generally and individually. Look at Srila Prabhupada's life, you know, he wanted to marry this one girl. His father said, no, you'll be too attached, marry this other person. And we know his wife, she was taking tea and so forth. So there were always differences. They were, you know, like Srila Prabhupada's family life wasn't so very comfortable if you actually read in detail. So we can see that as Krishna's arrangement, that if his material life was comfortable, you know, his family life was very comfortable, he probably wouldn't have given up. And again, we wouldn't have been here today. So Krishna has, you know, putting all these things in place, just like the whole Mahabharata, all these pastimes, the cursing of Maharaj Parikshit, put all these things in place so that the message can come out, you know, that all these things can happen. So we can see things from different ways. Yes, I agree that, okay, now you're forced to renounce anyway. You're going to die in 7 days. But our point of discussion here is the consciousness that he developed. That whether he's going to do it willingly or forcefully. The idea here is that due to his knowledge and affection for Krishna, he did it willingly. Whether he was going to die in 7 days or not die in 7 days, he had already developed that affinity for Lord Krishna. That mamata, that possessiveness for Lord Krishna, that he has no attachment for these things, and whatever he has, like described here, Krishna gave him an undisputed kingdom. Very clearly says an undisputed kingdom, the position of a king. He has all the facilities to enjoy, but due to his being a great devotee, he was able to use it in Krishna's service. So I hope that addresses our Mother Madhumati, then Pran Govinda Prabhu.
In regards to Panchagora Prabhu's question, whether how do we know to renounce, or one thought came to my mind was, and he mentioned the Goswamis, when they renounced, their service increased. They were able, they did so much.
Yeah.
We see the same thing in Prabhupada's example when he took the renounced order of life. Then he did so much. So I think one way to think which direction to go is to see whether I'll be able to do more. I remember when Jayadvaita Maharaj came here, he was talking about, you know, Maharaj's way of saying, you know, when the man has to leave home, the vanaprastha, and that has to leave home. And that is right, Maharaj is right. One has to do that. The man has to leave home. But the question is, well, when the man leaves home, is he going to do more, be able to do more service, or is it going to be more of a burden to the temples in that situation? What is the position? Or is it better that the person stays home and performs devotional service in a situation that might be not burdensome to the temple, but might be giving to the temple? So these are some thoughts that came to my mind. in regards to Panchabal Gaura Prabhu's
question. Yeah, and I fully agree. I think that's the point of the discussion here. It's not only like the physical act of renouncing or giving up, moving away, but the mental structure that one should develop, that whether one is in the griha, is in the home, or is outside of the home, that the mentality should be correct, that this idea of renouncing has to be there is no question about it. And just to add to that, in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse 15, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada said that this school of bhakti, this bhakti school is so powerful that it's only of all religious practices, only the bhakti school, marriage and household life is allowed. Because this bhakti school is so powerful that even in grihastha ashram, marriage life, family life and all its entanglement, one can fully renounce and execute Krishna consciousness perfectly. That's right there in the purport. So, for one, devotional service is so strong that one can appears to still be in household life but be very renounced. Typical examples are like Ramananda Roy, the king, when he was discussing with Lord Chaitanya, they learn so much of how renounced he is, how advanced of a devotee he is, and there are so many other examples. Srila Prabhupada himself, he was a grihastha, and among his sannyas god-brothers, Prabhupada excelled, he stood out, so much so that his spiritual master recognized that immediately upon the very foresight of him. So yes, these things are there. The ideas that for individual, which is better, to physically leave home and take sannyas and function in this way? Would you be able to function better? Would you be able to offer more benefit to society? Or stay here in grihastha ashram and function in this way? I remember when we first moved to Miami, the Miami Temple in 96. Agrani Prabhu came there, and he's a family person. He has wife and two kids, I think, at the time. And the temple had to, the arrangement is that the temple paid him to be temple president. So they were paying him $2,000 a month. And the situation was that the temple was about to run bankrupt when I moved there and he moved there. We moved there within 2 weeks of each other. The temple was about to run bankrupt. So then the question came, is in one class, devotees raised it and it was a big point, that we are about to run bankrupt and here you bring someone, they were accusing Bir Krishna Maharaj, GBC at the time, that you're bringing someone that now the temple has to find $2,000 to maintain him and we're about to run bankrupt. What's the calculation here? So then the explanation was, they were saying, well, why not get a brahmachari, you know, or a sannyasi who has no expense, they can live in one of the ashram rooms. So then the answer is that what that brahmachari can do to maintain that track record proves that this grihastha devotee, with all you have to find $2,000 a month, he can get 10 or 20 times more than that to support, to reestablish the temple, to fully maintain, and you still have enough to support him. So this is the calculation that one, you know, that they were looking at. That this one brahmachari or sannyasi that you have in mind can only produce $10 a month, whilst this grihastha can produce $10,000 a month. So with all it costs $2,000, you're still gaining so much more. So similarly, you know, we have to analyze those things, that okay, which is better, to stick in this situation and serve, or to be in this situation and serve? And if that addresses.
Yes,
Yeah, Prandavindam Prabhu.
I was thinking in the beginning of the class you mentioned renouncing work and work in devotion. That was the choice between two, according to Prabhupada's translation. Because both produce liberation, or both directs one for liberation. But then Krishna answered that work in devotion is better than renouncing work. And if we look at the purport, Jagatat Karmana Anatra, Lokayam Karma Bandhana. So Prabhupada put a very nice purport that he said, we are born with a psychophysical nature. Psychophysical nature means the soul, while residing in this material world, got the contamination of three modes, and they develop some impression that there is no way you can escape from it without going through or experiencing through. So then Arjuna also put a logic, but karma yoga, jnana yoga is higher than karma. Why? What if I am eligible? Ultimately, I will be peaceful and liberation will be there. But Krishna indirectly forced him. No, you still do karma yoga, don't do jnana yoga. Why? Because you are born with a kshatriya nature that has to be purified. So then Krishna gave a very nice, I thought it was more, very important verse addressing to the question. Tabat karmani kurvita na niravedya javata mat katha sravanadova saddha javanna jayate. You keep on doing because you have a natural affinity, inclination to explore in that route, until two things arise in your heart. One is tavat karmani kurvita na niravedya javata. You feel satiation with this material hankering, material desire. I'm done. I don't have any interest to explore material world or sense gratification. First. Then, mat katha sravana adova. You feel natural attraction. Yes, I feel happy when I chant. This is my way of thinking and looking at that verse. Same meaning. I feel happy to chant. I feel happy to hear about Krishna. I feel happy to discipline myself, display the devotional quality. I feel happy to hear Prabhupada's lecture. I feel happy to speak about Krishna. Then Krishna says, you are done, you take sannyas. So these two qualities is required for any angle. Whether Prahlad Maharaj was ruling the world, he had these two qualities. And as Prabhu says, many other like Kardama Muni, Mata Devotee's husband, he renounced them, even though his son is God himself, on that base of these two principles. That I have a natural attraction to practice here, I feel happy. It's a kind of introspective. I detect to my own consciousness. Do I feel happy to hear Bhagavatam? Do I feel happy to chant? Do I feel happy to do service? Do I feel happy to talk about Krishna? If it arises, and the other side is, I don't have any interest, I don't feel any attraction, then yes.
Yeah, it's a stage that one has to develop. One has to develop that affinity within the heart. I remember in our early days we were doing Sankirtan. And I was there with one devotee, you know, we were doing Sankirtan, I don't know where. And I heard I was approaching someone, he was there talking with someone else. And I overheard his conversation. So the person asked him, well, what, you know, tell me something about you Hare Krishna, what do you do? So then, when I heard that, I was curious to hear his answer, so I turned and looked at him, a young bhakta like myself, and he was scratching his head. He said, well, you know, They don't allow us to eat meat. They don't allow us to smoke. They don't. So the idea is that he wasn't convinced of it, but he wants to practice it. You know, he wasn't convinced. He didn't have that consciousness that, well, okay, you know, we give up these things. He had attachment for them, but he's making an effort. So similarly with what you're saying is that we have to practice. And that's why I said that this purport is like a further qualification of the purport Srila Prabhupada gave in the second verse of chapter 5. That he further explains. So because in the second part, Prabhupada says that if, naturally the latter part of the first paragraph, he says that if one cannot give up, if one cannot renounce these things, one is not qualified, then one has to learn to give them up physically, and then his mind would be trained, and then he can learn how to act in a renounced way. So, same thing, it's a training, it's a training, and that's why Srila Prabhupada term our process, you know, Prabhupada particularly give the name of this process, what he's giving us, as sadhana bhakti, practice, devotion in practice. He didn't say give up everything. He said no, practice in this way, and then our mental structure would change where we would automatically give up. And not only that we would give up, but we would keep them and use them in Krishna's service, which is the next level. So, if that adds, so thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.